Welcome back. 347, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Brett Decker, the Washington Times editorial page editor. It is time for our week in review. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Andy. This live radio, my knees are shaking.
Your knees are shaking? Yes.
I always like to record.
We just let him in on a secret. Yeah, Brett normally comes in here a little before the show on Friday afternoons. Look, he's a very important man. He's got lots of things to take care of around here. He's got places to go, people to see, and so a lot of times he'll come in here at about 2:30. We record the little piece and we play it back later on. But today he couldn't do that. He said, "I'm going to have to go live."
And
so,
and Fridays I usually put a little time away to meet with the groupies.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I got my finger on the button here, just in case.
Yeah, right? That's right.
So we're ready.
Hey, we had one thing today, as you know. I was at a funeral for someone very prominent, Dr. Bob Collins, who used to be the Redskins physician and sort of a very great guy in Washington. And so he passed away, father of a friend of mine, Bill. But he was a big guy in town, big Redskins fan, doctor.
Yeah.
So rest in peace to Dr. Collins.
All right. Let's start with Afghanistan today. I don't even know where to start. I mean, Karzai is mad at us. He wants us out of there. He wants the troops on the bases, out of the villages. Panetta arrives, has a little encounter with some guy in a pickup truck, and actually they don't even think it was Panetta being targeted, but nonetheless, he gets a little jittery. Somebody with his group gets a little jittery. Next thing you know, the Marines are putting their weapons down, going into a meeting. And then, of course, the Taliban says, we're done. We're not going to negotiate. So things are crumbling a bit.
You know, you kind of wonder who's making these decisions, Andy. You know,
I know.
I mean, the disarming our Marines to be with the Secretary of Defense, it says one thing is one. I mean, you have a left-wing administration that, doesn't trust our troops, the best America has to offer.
Yeah.
But two, it also says something about their leadership. If they're worried that they're so unpopular with the men in boots that they might get fragged.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like, it tells you, it shows how unpopular they know they are with the troops they're supposed to be commanding.
Yeah. Leave it to the left to come up with gun control in a war.
I mean, that's a great line, Andy. I'll steal that if you don't mind.
Really?
I'll give you a dollar if I can use that line.
It's yours. Just take it. Just take it.
I was going to say Canadian dollar, but I think it's worth more than ours now.
It is. You have to give two of ours.
I mean, the Taliban negotiating, you know, the Taliban saying they're not going to negotiate with us. I think most Americans are like, what the heck? We're at the table with the Taliban?
Yeah, I know.
I think most people can't believe we're talking to them anyway. Like, why did we lose great soldiers and sailors and Marines over there and airmen if we're just going to give it back to the bad guys who are sheltering bin Laden? I mean, we all know how horrible the Taliban is. So we're negotiating so the Taliban can have a role again. That just says lose, lose, lose all over it.
Yeah. So does it make sense to stay there?
It's a toughie. And I think, you know, right now we have an administration that's not committed to winning. So, you know, we had an editorial this week how, you know, you're going to see helicopters leaving from the Kabul embassy soon.
Yeah, I know.
Vietnam style, because we're just going to pull out. And I mean, this country has to get serious about, you know, what it needs to do to win wars if we're going to get them.
Yeah. All right, going to move on to the primaries this past Tuesday down south, or the – I guess these were part of Toothless Tuesday.
Too
close to call. Remember that was from the Marr show.
I the left. It's amazing. One thing this does. Yeah, I mean, what Mississippi and Alabama primaries. So they're calling them Toothless, a rip on the South. I mean, if anything, what it tells you, it just reminds you how the left's idea of diversity is baloney.
Yeah.
You know. They say it's all about diversity, having people of all different stripes.
Yeah.
No, it has to be people just like them who think like them.
That's right.
And the second you say something they don't like, they want to censor it.
No, it's true.
It's true. Even the Democratic Party, there is no party. It's more lockstop and has less diversity than that party on ideas. I mean, even things on like abortion, which I couldn't be more against abortion, but who has more diversity in their party on that issue? The GOP has both sides. The Democrats don't.
No, it's absolutely true. Yeah. All right. This one, I know you got to love this. The Washington Post has teamed with China's government to operate a news website.
Yeah, quote unquote news, right?
Yeah, really.
You know, I think the Washington Post is, you know, they're desperate for money. You know, they're funded for a long time. I mean, you know, as we all know, newspapers lose money,
mm-hmm.
and the Post loses a lot of it, but they were saved by this electronic education company that have Kaplan. Well, it's kind of been losing money recently, so the Post sugar daddy's gone.
Yeah.
So they need a new one, and that sugar daddy is in Beijing. And if anything, I mean, they're just like everybody else. The Post is going to the communist Chinese with hat in hand, like Greece and Germany, and frankly, like Obama.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can't pay for our government spending here, so we have to borrow money from China, too. So if anything, the Washington Post just is doing what the U.S. government does every day. You know?
looking down to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's, you know, it's trouble for everybody because China, you know, is not a benevolent lender.
Really?
You know, any money they're giving have lots of strings attached, right?
I'll bet.
There's somewhere you can find all you want to know about that.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, the quality of the news that will be displayed on that website?
I mean, it's going to be amazing, you know. All the charitable efforts by the Chinese government, and, you know, ending poverty.
You get what you pay for, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of China, now the top investor in Germany. Is that a surprise?
Well, you know, Germany's problem is, you know, Germany is keeping all of the entire European Union afloat. You know, they're the only economy that really works. You know, France is getting downgraded. You know, the problem with Europe is that when they put the European Union together, they had to pretend a lot of countries were like serious countries,
mm-hmm.
like Italy and Spain.
Yeah.
You know, Italy and Spain are like the third and fourth biggest economies in Europe. Well, we all know those places are a joke, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But they have to pretend that they're legitimate economies. So at the end of the day, it comes down to the Germans, who are, as we know, very efficient people. You know, they, you know, West Germany, when they took over East Germany, they still remained the number three economy on the planet, even though they had this, you know. So the Germans have been bailing out. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones that have to bail out Greece. And, you know, Greece just got another $175 billion a couple weeks ago and then came to close to defaulting a week later. So it's just having to pay people to keep doing bad things. And, I mean, at the end of the day, Germany can't keep all of the European Union afloat, so they have to go.
Have to go get money.
Go get money, and yeah. You know, the Chinese want to give it to everybody.
Yeah, of course. They want to own everything. All right, 3 in every 10 young adults have moved back in with mom and dad. Are you surprised by that?
I'm not sure if I'm surprised. In fact, I'm thinking about doing that.
Really?
I mean,
fantastic.
I mean, unfortunately, I'm not sure if the Washington Times is going to let me do my job from Michigan, you know. So, but I don't know. Living back at home, mom cooked meals.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's better than, you know, right now half the time I'm, you know, having to worry about eating cat food, providing for myself, you know. But, what it really is, and it's something we know, and I think when it comes election time, these are the things people are going to vote on. Is unemployment for kids like right out of college is 25%.
Yep.
You know, it's almost triple the national average. And where are those kids doing? A lot of them have huge college loans and no job. So they're moving back into the basement. Or I said to somebody I know recently after church about their kids moving into their basement. And this one lady said, it's worse. He moved back into his bedroom on the same upstairs.
Oh, man. So, well, if you moved back in, would you pay rent?
I'd probably mow the yard and stuff like that.
Do chores.
I'm not always the best about making my bed. I'm not good at doing dishes. So, I mean, maybe the lawn. Lawn gets some sun.
Yeah, come on, Mom. Come on.
Listen, hopefully she won't be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. All right. And finally, I wanted to get to something that you had done a little earlier this week, 5 questions with Newt. And I know that we've done candidates in the past.
Sure.
What kind of new answers did you get from old Newt?
You know, the thing with Newt is, and it's just one of those opportunities missed, and it's just, you know, there's a good Newt and a bad Newt. But like we talked about on your show a lot of times, like especially after the debates, most of the time when we're seeing here who is a winner, we're like, you know, Mitt did pretty good.
Yeah.
But it would be like, you know, Newt won. Mm-hmm. He had the best answers.
Yeah.
He's smart. He knows the issues. And in the interview I had with him this week, 5 straightforward questions on tax policy, foreign policy, what do you do in his first 100 days?
Right.
I mean, it's solid. It's specific. It's detailed. I mean, if Newt didn't have the baggage and wouldn't shoot himself in the foot so often, I mean, it's great stuff on taxes, You know, he talks about a flat tax, about getting rid of the corporate tax,
yeah.
getting rid of the death tax, getting rid of capital gains. It's all boom, boom, boom. No vagary, no gray area, you know. And he points to his record as Speaker of the House, where the Republican Congress passed 4 balanced budgets in a row, created 11 million new jobs, cut 20% of the U.S. debt, and unemployment when Republicans controlled the House after 94 was 4.2%, so
yeah.
less than half. And I think it's a lesson on what we need to get to, and if it's not with Newt, it's with somebody else. But what they did back then is they were cutting government and saying no to programs and putting things to the test and passing reforms,
yeah.
saying everything can't be dependent on Washington, and the economy was going gangbusters, and that's what we have to get again.
Yep, you're right. All right, my friend, we're out of time. We'll do it again next week. By the way, the 5 questions with Newt is still up on WashingtonTimes.com.
WashingtonTimes.com/opinion.
Okay, very good. We'll talk next week.
Have a great weekend.
You too, Brett. Brett Decker, Washington Times editorial page editor.